The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up? The APC Podcast. AcmePackingCompany.com, SB Nation, Packers Talk, all the live long day.
Draft season.
It's draft season.
Is on.
That is the voice of Ben Foley. Hey, Ben.
Hey.
I'm Zach Rapport.
Part one.
Part one.
Two-part draft.
Two-part draft series is what we are in the middle of. And we are featuring, who are we talking to today?
Today we are talking to Jake Ogden, you better know as Seeds of Jake, because I didn't know his last name until today.
At Seeds of Jake on Twitter, awesome film breakdown. We are going to talk to him in a couple minutes about offensive skill positions and secondary, what the Packers can look for heading into the draft next week.
Behind door number two,
we've got, I'm going to do a little drum roll on the table or something.
We probably have a sounder, but
nope.
No, maybe not.
No,
okay.
We don't. I got a lot of sounders, but I don't have. Well, let's see. How about this? Let's see here. It is Justice Mosqueda.
That was good.
At Jumosk on Twitter. If you don't follow him, what the bleep are you doing?
Yeah, you're not Twittering right.
Yeah, you're just doing it wrong. We're going to talk to him next week. About offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, the real nitty gritty stuff. Yeah, the bruisers. And no Alex Patakis here yet. He's in traffic.
He'll beam in.
He's on his way.
At
the APC Pod on Twitter, also on Instagram, again, for literally no reason. Find us there.
That's true.
I'll probably put a story up as we record this.
Oh, okay.
So
that's cool, because people need to see what we look like. Yeah, they need to really understand what we're about.
And, well, you've got a very nice haircut here today.
I had a job interview yesterday.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Looking sharp, my friend.
Thank you.
We got any news, any Packers news before we head into this little interview here with
Jake Ogden? Well, last year's Packers are now called the Cleveland Browns.
Apparently.
Jeff Janis. R.I.P.
I thought I removed this sounder, but I didn't, just in time.
There's going to be a lot of punt gunning going down in Cleveland.
Is there, though? Is there?
And what else are they going to do with him?
Well,
they have, like, so many wide receivers, too, if we can just point that out.
He's not a wide receiver, though.
Well, exactly. So he's going to be doing a lot of punt gunning.
Well, his contract is not guaranteed, so the point that I was making is I don't think he makes the roster.
If he doesn't, then I would gladly take him back as a punt gunner.
Someone else suggested that on Twitter, and I was like, I have reported your tweet
as
to the proper authorities.
Offensive material.
To the hot take authorities.
I'm pretty okay with Jeff Janis as a punt gunner. Speaking of punters, I want Marquette King.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Badly. And
John,
that's like
John
not
Gruden,
news,
as John Gruden just comes in and tries to 1998-ify the Raiders.
Yeah.
And get rid of all semblance of personality. I don't know.
It'd just be fun to have a good punter. Yeah. I know that's such a weird thing to get excited about, but I also think that I feel like special teams is such a, there's not a lot of ways to get like a real competitive advantage in the NFL, but if you have like a really good punter, It's a position with significant scarcity where the difference between a really good punter and a mediocre punter is meaningful.
I would love to have Marquette King on the Packers. I think that it was stupid of John Gruden to cut him, but I also would ask you this. Do you legitimately think that the Raiders will be in danger of losing a game this year because of a punt? Maybe?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
I think that's hard to quantify.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to isolate. But he is more valuable than the majority of running backs in terms of points over expectation. Like on a per play basis.
Also a better dancer than most.
It also, and I mean, which is an indication of two things. One, that special teams is like a critical, you know, starting field position is huge. And two, that running backs are overvalued by a lot. So anyway, it's an easy and quick way to make your team better.
Yeah.
Without a lot of moving parts.
What other Packers news can we get to before? The Philadelphia Eagles fans decided that they have invented the nickname Dick Rod.
Oh, that's dumb. I mean, they
saw that a few times on Twitter as Richard Rodgers leaves the Packers for, I believe, a 1-year deal with the.
Yeah, that sounds right.
With the Eagles.
Whatever.
And he's carrying his tuba the whole way there.
Yeah, it's like another good tweet, I believe, was like, was that yours? By Richard Rodgers showing up like 4 seconds after everybody else to camp? Anyway.
I don't believe so.
I think that might have been Badger Noonan. Yeah.
No,
well,
my famous quote on him is that he runs like he's carrying a tuba.
Oh, you know what?
That's not to say that I don't like the guy.
Anyway, I guess we should go to the draft stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's a draft extravaganza.
Yeah, we're boring people. Not as dynamic without Alex Patakis here.
It's true. He carries a lot of water.
Yeah.
He
should carry some beer on his way up here.
True.
All right.
Should I call this guy?
Let's do it.
All right.
Jake Ogden, coming up next. Point out the colors of you. I see them too. And boy, I like them. I like them. I like them. We're way too fly to partake in all this hate. We out here vibing. We vibing. We vibing. Alexa, play Ariana Grande.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hey, sports fans, football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
The number you dialed is
Acme Packing Company.
You got these hands, believe it. You got your eyes, but you can't see them.
I sound good on my end, right?
Hey, so this is, we got Jake Ogden on the line.
Who sounds good on his end.
Who does sound good on his end, from Virginia. Awesome. You might know him as Seeds of Jake on Twitter. And he's here to talk cornerbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, people who hold the ball and run with it, hopefully.
Get your skill positions here.
He is a avid contributor to both Packers and Draft Twitter, and he is he and I have a secret fan club for DJ Moore, and we usually send each other direct message. We slide into each other's DMs about DJ Moore every once in a while. Glad to have him on. Jake, how's it going?
It's going good. Thank you guys for having me.
It's our pleasure. So how's your day? How's Virginia?
It's really good. Beautiful today. All sunny. I believe it's like 65.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we've been having the same weather you guys have been having in New York.
We are definitely not having 65 today, but that
oh,
is
you're
okay.
Not.
No.
Can I ask before we get started, a little bit of background from you, how a guy in sunny Virginia sort of cuts his teeth, bringing down Packers film on the Twitter sphere. How did you become a Packer fan and get into that stuff?
Oh, good question. So when I was a kid, I moved around quite a bit, so I didn't really have a team. So I just kind of, I guess, went with the Packers.
The Favre effect.
The Favre effect, pretty much. And I grew up in New York, pretty much, so right around where you guys are. But I left New York for a little bit, but I'm actually coming back in May, so we'll have to meet up, hopefully. I actually worked for Columbia for a couple of years as a coaching assistant and mostly on the recruiting side. And that's how I kind of start in with like a draft and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it began.
Awesome. Awesome.
So I now have a new name to ask about when we get to running backs. And I think I can probably figure out who it's going to be, but it's a New York area small school running back. But that's coming. That's going to come later. We're going to go in order of what I have arbitrarily determined. Let's be real. It's not arbitrary. I think the Packers need a cornerback. Let's talk cornerbacks.
Also, our show, our rules.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they desperately need a cornerback. This is quite a really good class. The top five guys that are in this class that are really, really good.
So who
they
need to? Who are your top five?
My top five would have to be start off with Josh Jackson, Denzel Ward, Mike Hughes, and Isaiah Oliver.
Okay, and then Jaire Alexander or no?
Oh yeah, Jaire Alexander. Yeah, forgot him.
All right,
those are the five guys that are like the top guys, and they all tested pretty well.
So I'm a little surprised to hear you have Josh Jackson over Denzel Ward.
Well, it's not any particular order, but for me, I do like Josh Jackson. I think his upside is greater than Denzel Ward just because of ball skills. And I know that he's new to the position. He's pretty much a baby at corner because they recruited him as a wide receiver. So he's fairly new. It also depends on scheme. He's a little bit fits better in zone than man. So he might not necessarily fit with what the Packers are doing. But in terms of ball skills and everything else that he does, and he tested. I know he ran a slow 40, but it doesn't really matter to me.
Is it a challenge for you to rank these guys, sort of knowing that we don't really yet know what a Mike Patton Green Bay defense is going to look like?
Well, I think that's a good question too. Is that we kind of know what Mike wants? He wants they've been targeting man corners, so we can kind of pinpoint like you can. Because I've kept track of all the players that they've kind of either met with or they are going to their pro days, whatnot, that you can kind of tell who they want. And Mike Patton, usually his corners are man corners that he puts a lot of emphasis on his guys. He puts them because he likes the blitz a lot. So I think that they need man corners. So and they're bringing in a guy like Mike Hughes. I think Mike Hughes fits them really well. I think Denzel Ward fits really well. Isaiah Oliver fits really well. So I think we can kind of tell which guys go with what Mike Patton wants to do.
So that, I mean, all those names are kind of going to be first rounders, maybe slide to the second, maybe somebody like Isaiah Oliver. But even that seems like a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Do you think then that the Packers have to trade back to really get value from the spot and pick up one of those corners? Or, I mean, Jackson at 14 isn't too high for you.
I would take Josh Jackson. I know he hasn't played much man. The game that he did really succeed in man was versus Minnesota. He can play man. Like I said, he's a baby. He's new to the position, but he can play man. It just depends on, you know, how they want him to work. But he's more of a project kind of upside kind of guy that you got to get. I would take him at 14. Because I think Mike Hughes might be a little rich for 14. I think Isaiah Oliver might be a little rich. But I do think that they could – I think a trade-up would make the most sense to trade back up from the second round at 45 and go back into the first. It makes the most sense if they don't get one at 14.
Yeah.
That's what I would try to do.
I mean, you and I have been talking about this a lot. I find 14 like a really awkward spot in this year's draft. It's kind of just after the drop of the top tier.
Yeah, because your hope – because, I mean, it's thankfully we're going to have 3 to 4 quarterbacks go before us.
Yeah.
But there's still – you don't – like, you kind of hope that, like, Vita Vea goes before us or Darius Geis goes. Like, but it's – yeah, it's that weird talent drop, and you don't know if they're going to target Josh Jackson because of his limitations in man. and et cetera. Like, you don't know if they're, and they have that threshold, the 5'10 threshold that they have.
Yeah.
So you don't know. It's a bit weird.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of names, one of which we can talk about today, as the Packers have visited him, which at least is in one small way a shift in philosophy, and that's Derwin James, who the Packers brought in for a pre-draft visit today. And in the past, usually the Packers pre-draft visits have gone to potential undrafted free agents, seventh rounders, the kind of like, well, everybody's, you know, the names that not everybody is getting to meet with or getting a good idea of. And this year they're going, you know, they've met Mike Hughes. Now they're talking with Derwin James, who's projected probably above 14. And there's, you know, maybe 5% of scenarios where he lasts that long. So the Packers could even be looking to trade up. And trade up to draft a safety, which they drafted last year in the second round, in which they extended, 2 years ago. And so what do you make of Derwin James?
I like Derwin James, and I tweeted it earlier today that I saw a comparison of Josh Jones and Derwin James. They tested both very similarly. And we know that Gutekunst loves big athletic safety because he's the one that found Josh Jones. So you can see the connection why he likes Derwin James. Mm-hmm. And I think that – and we also – HaHa is going to be a free agent next year right, he's a free agent in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So not saying that HaHa is not going to get extended, but it could – potentially, like they could, like they did with Morgan Burnett. Depends on how HaHa does this year. I do think Derwin fits how Mike Pettine. He likes three safeties. They can put him at multiple positions. I mean, I do like the fit. It's not generally the direction I would want to go at 14, but obviously we have so many holes that I think that it doesn't really quite matter. Just take the best defensive player available.
The difference maker.
And he's totally a difference maker. He can do everything in terms of run fits. He can play in the slot. He can play free safety, strong safety. He can move around. And that's what you kind of want for that type of player.
So you're good. You're good going secondary at 14, it sounds like.
Yeah, it just depends on who falls. Like I've heard rumors of Mika Fitzpatrick falling. But you never know. Like, we're in a very weird spot. Like, I would take any of those guys, any of those safeties.
Anybody who drops.
Yeah.
And then, all right, so then let's move to wide receivers, which is you know, the other thing that you and I end up talking about a lot. And with that, you know, a question of, do you go wide receiver at 45? Do you go wide receiver in the third? Do you go and again, this is also a weird draft year for wide receivers. They're at the top. Yeah. The top of the list is pretty unclear.
Yeah, it's a very. It's been moving around since we started the whole process. Like, the clear cut number one was Calvin Ridley, and then he, you know, the production and his testing just didn't match up. He just did, and now we're kind of. Then you kind of see DJ Moore rise to the top, or Cortland Sutton. But still, there's no clear-cut number one wide receiver or a guy that I think will project into be a wide receiver one. I think there's a lot of wide receiver twos and a lot of decent projects you can work with. It's a deep class at wide receiver, but there's no Amari Cooper. There's no Sammy Watkins or Odell.
Generational talent.
Yeah, so definitely taking one at 14 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it depends on who falls at 45. There's a lot of interesting projects. Guys that I would, because I don't think DJ Moore is going to fall, and I don't think Cortland Sutton's going to fall to 45.
Yeah. I mean, those are my top two, probably.
Yeah, same with me, and I love those two. I'm also not trading up into the first to go get a wide receiver. If I'm trading up, it's either for a corner or an edge that somehow fell.
Yeah.
So the guys that I like at 45 or 76, I would say start off with like Anthony Miller,
mm-hmm.
DJ Chark. I think a lot of people are kind of questioning DJ Chark a little bit, but I love what he brings. I know he's kind of a developmental wide receiver. He only runs basically two routes, a go and a post.
He sort of reminds me of Will Fuller in some ways.
Yeah, he really does, because he can contribute at least day one on special teams.
Yeah,
he's a gunner. He's a punt returner. He can be a kick returner. he can do it all. And I was at the Senior Bowl, so I got to watch him, and he's actually a better route runner than people think.
Yeah, he lit it up.
Yeah, he was good in one-on-ones, like all during the practices.
So. I heard the Packers need a new gunner, so that's good.
Oh yeah,
that is true. There we go.
Goodbye,
yeah,
Jeff. And then, well, just building on that, I mean, as far as later round or mid round, I guess, day three types that the Packers could have a good shot, both a good shot at and a good use for. I mean, I know you and I have both. I think it's safe to say that we're both fans of both Dante Pettis out of Washington and Equanimeous St. Brown from Notre Dame.
Yeah, you convinced me about him. I was kind of unsure, and then I kind of looked more at him, and I really like him as like a solid projection. You could probably get in the third or fourth. I would not take him at 45.
No. I mean, I look at ESB and I say, like, look, if you could convince yourself to take, you know, D'Angelo Yancey and Malachi Dupree, you can easily talk yourself into taking ESB.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And another guy that's a good projection is Tre'Quan Smith out of UCF. I think he's another guy, if you miss out on DJ Chark or Dante Pettis, he's another guy you could bring in that's very, very good athlete.
Yeah.
And who else? I actually sent you a DM last night of Darius Fountain. I love him. If he's there, like in the fourth or fifth, I think he's a fantastic project.
I think they have so much ammo in the mids, right? Like,
yeah, they have
2/4, 3/5, something like that.
Yeah, and absolutely. If they and I said this to you too, if we end up with 12 picks, I'm going to be furious.
Yeah,
we need they need to move up and sort of target players, which I think that they will. I think that I don't. That'd be really stupid if they didn't. So I think there's quite a few guys that they can move up and kind of target certain players at certain positions.
And so. Moving on from wide receivers, I mean, then these are all rather fluid. If you think of something you want to say regarding anybody, please do.
Sure.
Tight ends, the other boy in the ball catching band.
How do we replace the hole, the void left by Richard Rodgers' departure?
That's true.
Oh God, it's gonna be what a hard replacement.
I just want to say, I saw a mock, an NFL mock yesterday, like from the NFL Network, that had Hayden Hurst at 15 or 16, I think, and that is insane. I just want to go on the record and say that.
Ew,
that's crazy.
That's gross. Why would anyone do that? Why would you trade up but why would you draft?
I think they said it was the Ravens, who I guess let Ben Watson go, and I don't remember. I guess they have Max Williams, though. It's like, anyway.
They do like to collect a bunch of mediocre tight ends.
Max Williams was a decent prospect. Let's be generous to Max Williams.
Ben Foley taking umbrage.
His name's got two X's.
That's true. He does have two X's. He's got that. How many prospects
more extreme?
Yeah, and this is another class where there's just like a lot of question marks at tight end. I mean, well, I think there's the one unquestioned thing is that Dallas Gaedert is tight end one. I think.
Oh, he's for sure tight end one, man. No question. I mean, I know he didn't run the 40, but who cares? You kind of know he's like a 4.7 guy, and he ran a decent three cone, I believe. He ran a pretty good three cone, I think. Yeah, it was either a 7. I think it was a 7.02, but and that's pretty good for a guy that's like 6'4", 256.
Now, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, but you really wanted the Packers to take a tight end last year and feel like they missed out.
I did want the Packers to take
it. I wanted a tight end too. There was one of the best classes and we don't take one.
And you can get and you could have gotten Jonnu Smith in the third. And I think Jonnu Smith's going to be the best tight end out of last year's class because I'm a RotoViz fanboy. And when they tell me something like that, I believe them. But I wanted them to take one last year because I think it's always bad to be drafting from a position of need rather than, you know, plenty. Where's this three cone though? So I did want them to take one last year. This year, I think their hand is forced and they have to. But at the same time, it's like, you know, big blocking tight ends are kind of a dime a dozen. I don't think you waste draft capital on one.
Oh God, please don't. Yeah. No fullbacks or blocking tight ends, please.
Yeah. You don't want to Jake Stonebrunner with one of your fifth rounders. Stoneburner, no. Sorry. But so wait, does the NFL? Nope, they only do official combine. I mean, Gaydard is kind of a he could be a generational tight end prospect.
Yeah, he's gonna go definitely top 50.
Yeah,
I'd be. Yeah, for sure.
And if he falls to 45 and the Packers take him, I don't care what their positional needs are. I'm happy.
I would not care at all. Take him at 45. Yeah. He's that good.
And I'm not I don't know if you listen to the podcast enough to know that I was not the hugest fan of the Jimmy Graham signing.
I did listen to that one.
All right.
Yeah, we got listeners. Woo.
Got a couple.
And I've come around to the Jimmy Graham signing, but I do think that the Packers, like, I think one thing that fantasy has ruined for a lot of football thinkers, or fans, I guess, rather, not necessarily thinkers, is expectations on rookie players are just kind of way higher than they used to be. Yeah. Like, everybody expects every year to have, like, an Odell Beckham or, Ezekiel Elliott. And I think particularly with tight ends, that's not a very realistic expectation. Most of the historical tight end production is, like, pretty slow for rookies. So I think even if you have Jimmy Graham, you take somebody now and you start training them to be your tight end one for next year or the year after.
They almost have to. Because he's 30, he's going to turn 32, in November?
And his knees are not particularly good.
And he's not really an inline tight end. He's just a flex tight end that you can kind of use him as a mismatch. You're not going to want him to be in there blocking ever.
He's just a big-ass wide receiver.
Yeah, he's just a giant 6'6" wide. Yeah, with bad knees. They have to target a tight end.
And so Gaydard at 45, I think, is a no-brainer. But then after that, it gets a little murkier. Like, who's round out your top five?
Mine's a little bit skewed because I love Ian Thomas out of Indiana.
I remember.
For me, he's probably tight end too. I don't really rank him, but I don't like Hayden Hurst. I think is incredibly overrated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan, and I don't like the fact that he's 25. I'm not an ageist, but I don't like prospects that are Kyler Fackrell aged.
Well, I mean, I meant to say this when we were talking about Calvin Ridley. Dude is a year younger than Brandon Cooks, who already has 4,000 yards in the NFL. And to me, is like a no. That's I just don't want.
That's going to be a no for me.
That's going to be a no. Yeah.
But the only, and just to jump really quick back to wide receiver, the only player that I would want that I know is going to turn 24 in his rookie year is Anthony Miller. But I know that I can probably get him like at 45 or 76.
Yeah, easily.
And that's better for me than taking a guy super early that I don't even trust that he can be more than a wide receiver too. That's just too. Anyways, but yeah, to tight ends, I would take Ian Thomas. I really like him. I like Dalton Schultz out of Stanford. I think he's possible. Let me think. I guess Mark Andrews is interesting, but he's more of a flex tight end too. So it's a really kind of barren sort of cupboard at tight end this year.
Especially compared to last year.
Yeah, and I know people love Mike Gesicki. He's just another flex tight end that's really good at jump balls. And he just reminds me of a dad runner. I know he's like super athletic, and I didn't want to believe it when I first saw it.
Yeah.
But I just don't like his routes. He's not gonna be able to block. So, and not that I want like a blocking tight end, but you can't go from like this. You do need a guy that can develop, and I think Ian Thomas, I think Dalton Schultz those are the two kind of guys you can kind of develop into. Full-time tight ends.
Yeah.
Also, a late guy from Miami, Chris Herndon. I think he could be a decent guy that you want to develop late. But, for the most part, I mean, Mike Gesicki's another flex tight end, and then Mark Andrews is a flex as well. But, it's basically like three guys that I really like.
Well, here's hoping.
It seems to me that maybe the signing of Jimmy Graham was kind of indicative of what at least the Packers front office thinks about this tight end draft class coming in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I do think that anybody who expects a rookie tight end to come in and be dominant is expecting way too much.
Nearly never happens.
Hunter Henry is the closest you're going to get. And Hunter Henry wasn't actually that dominant. He just caught a lot of touchdowns that rookie year.
Right.
So that leaves something else. What am I forgetting? Oh, running backs, which is a surprisingly deep and fun class that the Packers don't have that much need to look at, but they do have some need to look at. So let's talk RBs. And we can we don't even need to talk about it. Like, well, Saquon Barkley is going to be the best running back prospect in years.
I was going to say that I actually, well, we talked about this a little bit before we got on, but the popular narrative is that the Packers don't need a running back, but it seems like you two might think otherwise.
I mean, I think the Packers, first off, do these people not remember what happened to Jonathan Franklin? Like,
these
you can
people.
Never have too many running backs. That's the fundamental rule.
Thank you.
Like, it only takes a play for you to not have a running back anymore.
I'm currently pouring out an invisible 40 for
guess
Jonathan
how
Franklin.
Many how many active running backs we had week 17?
Last
we had one
last
one.
Week last year.
Yeah, last year, Jamal Williams was the only active running back we had on the roster.
Well, and the year before, there was who was the one guy who got like four carries and then he got hurt?
Can't even remember.
Don Jackson.
Don Jackson. Yeah, I mean, like, and sure, you can, you know, sign your Christine Michael off the street and
no, he's gone.
No, I know, but I just mean like there's gonna be a Rob Turbin. There's gonna be plenty of guys who get cut from camp, and you can plug and play some guy. But I mean, to me, I'd much rather have a potential home run hitter like Aaron Jones from a small school who has an insane amount of production. And there's so many of these guys this year.
Yeah, so the Packers found, you know, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, those guys in the later rounds. Jake, what do you think about the running back class, especially as we get later into like the fourth round?
Man, even if you took, like, let's say you just took Saquon and Darius guys out of the mix, this class is still ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stacked. And that's without Myles Gaskin declaring.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, that's my guy.
Yeah.
Love Myles.
You okay
Gaskin.
Over there?
No, this class is super deep. That would fit, like, I mean, obviously we're not going to get a guy like Royce Freeman, but I think he fits what the Packers do really well.
Yeah.
I love John Kelly. I know his measurables did not really kind of like, he didn't test super well, but his film is ridiculous. I love him in Green Bay. If we can get him in like the fourth or fifth, he would be ideal.
I think names that the Packers could have a reasonable shot at in the mid rounds, especially like with their 3/5. Something like Nyheim Hines, if he's on the board.
It's an Aaron Jones like clone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Rashad Penny manages to drop, which I don't think he will, but if he drops past the third, like, I'm okay taking him. See, what are some other names?
Nick Chubb, there's Justin Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. Like, who knows which one of those guys is going to be better. Kerryon Johnson is out there.
He should go. He probably will go third or fourth.
And then I was curious. I don't know how much you've like kept up on New York City area football stuff, but I don't know. Do you have a Chase Edmonds take?
Chase Edmonds. Oh, from where is he from?
Is it Hofstra?
No, it's I like I'm blanking on the school.
What's the other one? It's the other Bronx, Fordham.
Fordham. That's what he is.
Yeah.
I haven't really watched much of him, so I don't have a take on him. I know that he's explosive. I like there's some other guy too that was at the Senior Bowl. There was like a little guy that was jittery. I can't remember him, but yeah, I don't have a take on.
Oh, no Chase Edmonds take. I like Chase Edmonds to me is the kind of guy that the Packers take a long, hard look at in undrafted free agency or like with a late 7th or something like that. I think he could fit the Packers pretty well.
Did he test pretty well?
So he ran a 4.5540, 19 on the bench, 34-inch vert, 122-inch broad, 6.79, 3-cone, 4.07, 20-yard shuttle, 11.63, 60-yard shuttle.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
And his size, like, what's his like speed size profile? It's 5'9", 205. Yeah,
as long as he's above 200, I think the Packers will take him.
Yeah, I think like he kind of fits their mold. So let's wrap up on some crushes. Give me three names that if the Packers come away from this draft, you're pretty happy.
Any position.
Any position.
Okay. I would say number one crush would be Anthony Miller, If we come away with him at any point in the draft, I'll be ecstatic.
Wow.
I guess Mike Hughes would be another one. Mike Hughes and Anthony Miller are like two big draft crushes. And I guess Ian Thomas, because I know we talked about him before.
And that's one of those names, too, where value and draft value and positional value kind of match up well in this draft.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those guys, for sure.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to being... I'll send you an angry DM when somebody else takes DJ Moore at the end of the first round.
At Seeds of Jake on Twitter.
And
I appreciate it.
You got anything coming up you wanna pump up, or you just stick into the Twitter films?
Just Twitter films, man. But when I get back into New York next month, I'll hit you guys up. We'll have to go for a beer, man.
Please do. We can
do this interview IRL next
quite
time.
Quite amenable.
Yeah, we have to. That'd be cool.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
All right. You too. Bye.
My heart skips skipping a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
My heart skips skipping a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Good stuff from Jake, man.
Great stuff from Jake.
Great stuff as you move the microphone closer to your mouth there.
Sorry. I forgot I was on there.
Jake Ogden at Seeds of Jake on Twitter. Really fun stuff. Some names for you guys to do your Googling.
And feel free to tweet your own I hate Ian Thomas. I want Hayden Hurst at 14.
Yeah, at Seeds of Jake, at the APC pod, and we'll have a dialogue.
And I will ridicule you, but...
At Ben Foley.
Please bring it on. I don't know. Draft is fun because it's the one place where a bunch of smart people can reasonably disagree on some things, and a bunch of dumb people can reasonably agree on other things.
And nearly everyone will be totally wrong about many things.
It's true. This is also the one time a year that I actually wish that I had a subscription to Bob McGinn's www.bobmcginnisfootball.com or whatever it is.
One would assume that he's still got those scouting connections and can call the depths of information.
That's literally the only thing I would pay for on that website.
Yeah,
I don't really...
Yeah.
Bob McGinn's recent output, it's moralizing about Latre Guyon is pretty low on my list of what I want to read and would pay for.
Draft stuff, good though.
Draft stuff I would pay for.
What do we got next week?
What do we got next week?
Justice Mosqueda.
Who? Just kidding.
Jumosk, yeah, who? If you don't follow him, again, you're doing it wrong.
You know him from Setting the Edge. You know him from exponentially raising his profile through the Packers. Not even the Packers, the NFL Twitter sphere. He is the co-host of Setting the Edge with Charles Johnson, a.k.a.
Charles McDonald.
Who's Charles Johnson? Oh, he was a wide receiver for the Vikings and the Packers briefly.
Charles Johnson was many people.
Yeah, it's true. It's not exactly a rare name. Charles McDonald, a.k.a. at Four Verts, a.k.a. the keeper of the mac and cheese recipe.
Two crucial football follows.
Yeah. No, guys. I mean, if you're not following those guys, you're not doing Twitter right. Speaking of which, if you're not following at the APC pod, at Ben Foley, at Zach Rapport, and at Alex Patakis, may he find his way here someday. You're doing Packers Twitter wrong. And
False start there on the poker.
Zach is doing the poker wrong.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. And so that was part one of the Draft Stravaganza, the 2018 APC podcast, Draft Stravaganza.
So tune in next week as well. Justice Mosqueda will be on to drop some serious knowledge as we get you guys all suited up and ready to go with your information helmets heading into the draft starting April 26th?
26th.
Information helmets. What the hell am I talking about?
Information helmets. Well, you know...
I am an idiot.
And we didn't talk about any bruisers today, so if you want to hear about things like pad level and have it mean something, tune in next week.
It's long like being a warrior sometimes.
It is. And who knows, maybe there'll be something else to talk about in the next week.
Yeah.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Keep your auto-renewing, self-downloading podcast thing locked on APC Podcast.
iTunes. Yeah, give us a rating, give us a subscription, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's the Android one.
Oh, okay.
I use it, even though I have an iPhone. Anyway, see you guys next week.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.